news time.
Let's wind the clock back to the year 2010. Now, I understand... I know some of you weren't alive yet in 2010. Some of you were barely speaking. But I was 11 years old in 2010. And I just started high school. I couldn't wait. I was gonna get new friends, I was gonna get new teachers. Let me move this so I can see the screen. I was gonna get new teachers, and I was one milestone closer to finishing school altogether. Brilliant. It was gonna be so good. But when I finally reached high school as an 11-year-old, I realized there were lots of changes that I had to get used to. My workload quadrupled, because now suddenly I was studying for 7 subjects. My cohort expanded from the little, cute, small one I had at St. Ives North to one double in size. And my classes lasted for so much longer than they used to. But by far the most annoying change was this: doing homework over the weekend. It was the worst. I could no longer could I look forward to Friday afternoons and spend the next 2 days doing whatever I wanted. Oh, no. Nope. Not only was I being given more work than I used to be, I was expected to do this work over my weekend. And as I entered years 10 and years 11 and 12, my school holidays as well were being spent organizing group assignments and writing 1,000-word essays and studying for 3-hour exams. Not fun. It was the worst. And very quickly, I realized that the teachers and the students had 2 very different answers to this question. What is the weekend for? Teachers clearly thought the weekend was for schoolwork. Just like any other school day, nothing would change. But the students thought the weekend was for rest, for them. Now, in our passage tonight, we saw a similar debate play out among 2 sides, but it wasn't between the teachers and the students. It was between the Pharisees and Jesus. And what they disagreed about, it wasn't the Sabbath. It wasn't the weekend, but the Sabbath, which is something very similar. Now, the Sabbath was a day created by God for his people to rest. But while the Pharisees thought the Sabbath was for rule-keeping and being perfectly obedient to God, Jesus teaches us that the Sabbath is for something else, for rest, for us. But how should we rest all these years later when we don't have the Sabbath anymore? How can we rest as followers of Jesus today? Let's find out. So head with me to chapter 2, verse 23 of Mark. It's on the screen. Let me read it out. It says this: one Sabbath day, Jesus was walking with his disciples through the grain fields. The disciples began to break off some heads of grain. The Pharisees said to Jesus, "Look, it is against the law to do this on the Sabbath day. Why are your disciples doing it?" Here, the Pharisees accuse Jesus of working on the Sabbath. Why? Because he let his disciples pick out some grain from a field and eat it. Strange. They accuse Jesus of working again in chapter 3, verses 1 to 2. Those verses say, "Another time Jesus went into the synagogue. A man with a weak and twisted hand was there. Some Pharisees were trying to find fault with Jesus. They watched him closely. They wanted to see if he would heal the man on the Sabbath day." Here the Pharisees watched Jesus closely to see if they could find fault with him. And what was the fault they were looking for? It was to see if he would heal the crippled man, because they believed that healing as well counted as work. Stupid. And it wasn't just picking grain from a field to eat or healing a man that was disallowed by the Pharisees, but all this other stuff. All 39 of these rules. This is what the Pharisees said you couldn't do on the Sabbath. For the Pharisees, obeying the Sabbath meant following each of these rules. They had fully made up, they aren't in the Bible, they're fully made up so they could achieve perfect obedience to God. For them, God wasn't a father, he was a ruthless commander who made strict demands of his people. And these demands had to be met at all costs. But is that what the Sabbath is about? Is that what God meant when he said the Sabbath day you are to keep holy? Let's see how Jesus responds to the Pharisees in the passage. So in verse chapter 2, verses 27 to 28, Jesus says to the Pharisees, the Sabbath day was made for man. Man was not made for the Sabbath day. So the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath. So what Jesus is saying here is that the Sabbath, it's not about bending over backwards to make sure you don't accidentally work by picking up some grain from a field. Instead, Jesus says that the Sabbath was made for man, for humankind. It was made for God's people. To do what? To rest, for their good and for their benefit. It isn't a demand set down by God that needs to be met, but a gift. And Jesus can say this, why? Because he says he's Lord of the Sabbath in verse 28. What does Lord of the Sabbath mean? It basically means that Jesus is God. He's in charge of the Sabbath and what you can and can't do on it because Jesus is God. He gave the commands and he knows what they're about. Jesus later proves that he's God by healing the crippled man in chapter 3, verse 5. Jesus also says that resting on the Sabbath, it shouldn't stop God's people from loving others. Head with me to chapter 3, verses 4 to 5. Jesus asked them this, what does the law say we should do on the Sabbath day? Should we do good or should we do evil? Should we save life or should we kill? But no one answered. Jesus looked around at them in anger. He was very upset because their hearts were stubborn. Jesus is upset because the Pharisees have stubborn hearts that can't admit that doing good on the Sabbath day pleases God. Jesus teaches us that the Sabbath isn't just a gift of rest to be enjoyed by ourselves in isolation from everyone else, but it's also about doing good when you see the need to others. We are not to enjoy this gift on our own, but we should use it to serve our neighbor. Now look, this is one of the best gifts I've ever gotten. Can anyone tell me what this is? Ethan.
Is that on PlayStation 2?
No, yeah. Oh no, we got a, yes, Sean?
A
play. Oh no, no one knows, no one knows what this is. Sophie?
Something that Sony made.
Josh.
It's a PlayStation 1.
Whoa. So think of the PlayStation 5. This is what it started out as. This old thing. So this is a PlayStation 1. We got a PlayStation 1 from my auntie, me and my siblings, when I was around 8 years old. So my younger sister was 5 and my little brother was 3. And we played this to death. We played it to death. I remember countless summers where we played it every day for weeks on end. It was great. If anyone knows Crash Bandicoot, yeah. The OG was on this console and it was so much fun. But imagine for a second, we got this PlayStation 1 and instead of enjoying it, we insisted no one play on it. We forbid anyone from touching it. We had to dust it 3 times a day, and it had to be guarded for 24 hours straight. Why, right? It's that stupid. That's a stupid thing to do with a gift, because a gift is for enjoyment. In the same way, the Pharisees ruined God's gift of the Sabbath by surrounding it with rules that needed to be kept in order to stay perfectly obedient to God, which isn't even possible. But Jesus teaches us instead that the Sabbath, along with the rest of the commandments, are actually gifts from God. They're not demands, but they're gifts to be followed for our good and for the good of other people. This is what King David thought of the commands. He says this, "I haven't turned away from your laws because you yourself have told me." This is him to God. "Your words are very sweet to my taste. They are sweeter than honey to me." Jesus believes this too. So, let's wind the clock back from 2,000 years ago, from 2010 to now. Do followers of Jesus today need to keep the Sabbath? Do we? Well, no and yes. No. We don't need to dedicate one specific day in our week to rest like the Israelites did. This is because the greater purpose of the Sabbath is to point towards the eternal rest we're going to experience in the new creation with Jesus, thanks to his sacrifice on the cross. Paul teaches us this in Colossians. He says this about the Sabbath. "So don't judge anyone because of what you eat or drink. Don't let anyone judge you about the holy days." I'm talking about the special feasts and the new moons and the Sabbath days. They are only a shadow of the things to come, but what is real is found in Christ. Paul is saying that the Sabbath's role is to point to our eternal rest with Jesus in the new creation. But God still wants us to enjoy his gift of rest on earth before we enter the new creation with Jesus forever. So, instead of dedicating one day in your week to rest like the Israelites used to do, think of the Sabbath command as an invitation from God to rest at any point during your week and to use your times of rest on earth to practice resting for an eternity with God in the new creation. So how do we rest for eternity? What does it look like to rest in a godly way for Christians today, for you guys? I think the passage gives us three clues. The first clue from the passage is this: enjoy creation as we rest. We see at the beginning of chapter 2, verse 23, that the disciples are, where are they? Outside, in the grain fields, picking grain and enjoying it to the taste. They're enjoying God's creation. And for us as well, we can use our times of rest to genuinely just enjoy all the gifts that God has given us. Friends, family, food, your Nintendo Switch, your PS5. All those things are gifts from God to be given for our enjoyment. And we can enjoy them giving great thanks to him. Two, enjoy God as we rest. We also see at the beginning of chapter 2, verse 23, the disciples aren't alone in the grain fields enjoying their day. They're hanging out with who? Jesus, yeah. They're walking along the fields with Jesus, with him beside them. And in chapter 3, verse 1, we read that Jesus entered the synagogue on the Sabbath day. So the synagogue is basically a place where all the Jews gathered then and today, actually, to worship God. And although we can't spend time with God face to face yet, we can spend time with him in his word and in prayer. And believe me, God speaks just as powerfully to us today through those things. And the third is this: love others as we rest. Finally, we see that in chapter 3, verse 5, Jesus continued to love others while he was resting. When he saw the crippled man, he didn't turn him away and say, "Actually, this is my own personal time for rest. I'm just going to go rest on my own, pray to God, and head back out there." No, that's not what he did. He saw the man, he approached him, he loved him, and he healed him. He saw his need and he met it. And maybe, just maybe, you can practice this weekend. So, when you've finished all your schoolwork, you've done everything your teachers required of you, and you have a moment to yourself on the weekend, before you head out to play sport or go to your friend's house for a sleepover, maybe ask your parents if they need help around the house. Or maybe go to your siblings and ask if they need help with their homework. When we use our rest to serve others, it pleases God so much. It pleases him greatly. So, final question. What is the Sabbath for? Well, Jesus rightly teaches that the Sabbath was made for rest, for us. It's a gift to be enjoyed by his people. When we stop studying for the next exam or practicing for the next band performance or heading out to train for our next sports semi-final or final, we can truly rest in God's presence. And when we practice this pause from all of our work, we make room for God to take his place in our lives, just as he will forever in eternity. I'm going to pray for us. Dear God, thank you for rest. Thank you that you aren't a strict dictator that just expects us to follow demands for the sake of it. But thank you that you're a loving father who gives his commands as gifts to his people. Lord, I ask that when we're resting, that we would genuinely enjoy all the great gifts you've given us, but that we would also use our rest to spend time with you and to love others. In your son's name, amen.